This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Shaw Kutin, with me, Brian Fernandez and Tan Chung Han. And we have the top business stories of the day for you. But before that, just a quick reminder that after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we're going to have The Breakfast Girl. Kusu Chuang speaks to Tony Seba, lecturer in entrepreneurship, disruption and clean energy from Stanford University. He is the author of a report, Rethinking Transport 2020 to 2030. And in which he attempts to shed light on the disruption and implications on transportation of the future. A lot of interesting matters, of course, essential to us in the cities, the question of the future of transport. I hope to be picked up by a drone in my home and placed at the top of the building here at BFM.
No, I hope to be able to just work completely from home in my pajamas and do the show from there. How about that?
Oh, that would be nasty. Nasty stuff.
Why is that nasty?
Work from your pajamas, man. Okay, let's look at the first story that we have. It's the Inland Revenue Board. Apparently, talks of the country's revenue decline is baseless because the Inland Revenue Board has collected more than 56 billion ringgit in taxes up to early July this year. So says Treasury Secretary General Tan Sri Dr. Mohamed Irwan Seriga Abdullah, who also cited improvements in the country's economic development. Han, how do we know that the key economic indicators he's referring to have strengthened?
Well, I mean, we have seen that 5.6% better than expected GDP growth in the first quarter. You know, last Friday, we had the export data for the first 5 months of this year. We have seen double-digit growth, both for exports and imports, you know, on year. That's on year growth. You know, we have seen that rebound in demand from our top customers there, you know, China, the EU and the like, and also from our ASEAN neighbours as well. So, you know, we have those kind of hard economic data, at least according to Tan Sri Irwan, that is translating into one of the reasons why we are seeing a slight uptick in taxes being collected up until early July. It's about 1 billion ringgit more compared to the same period last year, now hitting 56 billion ringgit. Oh, the taxman cometh.
Well, the taxman cometh because one of the reasons for the increase was possibly because the taxman has been going after the likes of Magnum Corporation, MK Land, and Country Heights Holdings. If you remember that between May the 11th and May the 22nd this year, the taxman basically went after Magnum Corp for the amount of 476 million. Country Heights Corporation for 126 million and MK Land for 80 million.
Right, and there's also been a change in the personal income tax rates. Now, for average Joes like myself, no change there. You know, you've got, but for those who are earning over 600,000 ringgit. A year to 1 million ringgit, Sharad, that's gone up by 1 percentage point.
Is this over a decade? How long is that? 10 years?
For the year. You would know a thing or two about this, Sharad. Those exceeding 1 million ringgit in annual income, so that has gone up by 3 percentage points to 28%. So you have that that hike in the personal income tax bracket.
If I was being paid a million ringgit a year, I would gladly pay 26%.
Really? Well, you know, I wonder if we can do a poll, you know, for those, you know, multi-millionaires here in Malaysia, whether they're okay with paying that 3 percentage points more.
And I know they listen to BFM.
Yeah, totally.
This is Radio 4 Millionaires. What's the M in BFM after all, but millionaires?
Oh, yep. Not modulation as in FM, but anyways, frequency modulation. So we have those kind of movements. Now, this report by Tan Sri Irwan Seriga comes on the back of that other report we spoke about earlier this week by Citigroup, saying that the fiscal deficit here in Malaysia has widened. And part of the reason that was attributed for that widening of the fiscal deficit was the lower collection of personal income taxes. So you have those kind of comments. Again, I'm not sure what Citigroup is seeing. Perhaps they're looking at a different set of numbers. To be fair, they looked only at personal income tax. At least that's what was cited in media reports. At least for Tan Sri Irwan, you know, he's saying that the IRB collected about 1 billion ringgit more compared to the same period last year.
It would also be interesting to see how much customs has collected from GST, which is projected again to, I think, hit the 60 billion mark this year.
Yeah. But now, as we are discussing this very touchy subject, taxes, you know, it's I guess there's nothing else that's certain in life besides death and taxes.
That's the expression, yeah.
And so, you know, very often it ruffles our feathers. But, you know, by all means, if you're listening to this right now, you know, go through the Budget 2017 speech as well, because for, again, the average Joes like you and I, there are there have been some relief on the tax front as well. You know, so it's all outlined there in the budget speech. You know, you can go check it out.
I think, you know, historians will tell you, and economic historians will tell you about the importance of taxes for state building. And a lot of weak states, you think of Afghanistan, you think of Iraq, post, you know, Saddam Hussein, actually, you know, the inability to collect taxes and then pay for services like policing and all that really leads to rampant crime, insurgencies and all that. So, you know, be glad that you're paying your taxes, because it's in fact funding peace and stability in this country, as it does in any country that has a strong tax base and that uses its money wisely.
And there we go. You know, that was a rationale cited by the government for GST. You broaden and strengthen your tax base, and hopefully that will lead to a more solid fiscal standing.
Yeah,
right?
And how many people were, and what percentage of the working population was even paying taxes prior to GST? I think it was about 10% or something.
Well, I'm glad you raised that. I'm going to give you that answer. Okay, so here we go. So this was cited by the Prime Minister in Budget 2017. Check this out. Only 2.1 million income taxpayers are actually, 2.1 million working Malaysians are actually paying taxes out of the total workforce of 14.6 million. So essentially, for every 7 Malaysians working, you've only got one paying taxes, if my math is correct.
Right. Yeah. So, you know.
So, one Malaysian paying for the other six.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically, the burden is phenomenal on that one person, and it's unsustainable. And I think that's why GST was such a compelling argument to be made.
And if you look at unsustainable, I think Greece is the classic example of a country that didn't pay a lot of everyone was avoiding tax, and they just spired into economic chaos. So that's a cautionary tale for Malaysia.
And also,
really,
they misused the money that they took on loans, right? So that's the other side of the cautionary tale. Because you can, and this is the argument made by
corruption as well.
But this was the argument made by those who were against the GST, was that unless you got government committed to fiscal discipline and to managing leaks and overspending and all those other issues, there was pointless giving government more money. So that was the against the GST argument.
Still, again, going back to some proposals in Budget 2017 in terms of tax relief, and this is for you SME operators out there. Depending on your chargeable income, you can enjoy tax reductions of between 1 to 4 percentage points. Again, that's dependent on your chargeable income. A whole host of other tax reliefs as well. Pretty interesting stuff.
Okay, moving on, we have Tencent in our crosshairs. If you are a WeChat user, you'd be happy to know that the tech investment company, Tencent Holdings, has applied for a license to offer local payment services in Malaysia via the WeChat Pay service. Curiously, this will be the first for this platform outside of China. Brian?
Well, Tencent's foray into Malaysia is really part of the overall Chinese tech expansion to ASEAN, eyeing its 640 million population. Now, Alipay was launched in May already, and merchants like 7-Eleven all over Malaysia have already been accepting Alipay for payments. Now, what is important really is the grand strategy. What is Alibaba and the Chinese merchants looking at? Alibaba has gone and invested, first of all, last year in Lazada. They first initially invested $1 billion in Lazada. They've doubled down on that to now take its stake to 83%. They've also set a regional distribution hub to cater to ASEAN, and Malaysia is the ASEAN hub, which is in KL Aeropolis, and on a 24,000-acre site. And that apparently is going to generate another $7 billion worth of domestic and foreign investments. The third thing that Alibaba has done also is Tmall. Tmall is really China's largest business-to-consumer retail platform. That's being expanded into ASEAN with Malaysia as a base. They came in only last month in June. Malaysia is one of the initial markets, Singapore being the other, that they're setting up shop. The fourth thing they're doing is also Alibaba Cloud is basically your Alibaba's equivalent of Amazon Web Services. So their tentacles are really everywhere.
Well, I mean, tentacles are the negative metaphor to use. But the question is, why
like
Malaysia? Why Malaysia? We don't have such a large, in ASEAN, we don't have the biggest of the markets. You know, Thailand's got, and Philippines have, what, 70 million people. Indonesia's got over 200 million people. Why come to Malaysia?
Well, there's several reasons for that. One of the things is economies of scale. Singapore would have seen as a natural thing, but basically land was an issue. For that, they required 20,000 acres. Operational and labor costs are also significantly lower. And also as a test market, Malaysia has a big enough market for them to experiment, learn, and then expand out.
Oh, fascinating. This story is something we'll have to revisit. Remember, we're coming up to the news, and after that, we'll have the breakfast grill. We'll have Tony Seba speak to Kusu Chuang. He's a lecturer in Entrepreneurship, Disruption, Clean Energy at Stanford University and the author of Rethinking Transport 2030. That's Tony Seba after the 8 o'clock bulletin. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.